Hallelujah. Y'all blessed this morning. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. I'm going to have to give him an energy drink or something. He's in deep meditation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody getting an offering envelope needs one. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you didn't get the Daniel fast paper, raise your hand. My wife will get you one. If you didn't get on the Daniel fast, you didn't get any paper, if you came in late, you get one. They need one. One or two, whatever. Everybody got a bulletin? I go through this real fast while Bernie's taking up the offering. It says, now, on this paper, it says Teshuvah begins the 30th. Okay? But in your bulletin, it says it begins August 29th. Okay? That's because that's when we're going to have the service. Remember, the Jewish calendar begins, the day begins at sundown on the 29th. Okay? All right? So, we're having... And I'll tell you this later. We'll show this to you later. But we're having an assembly or a meeting. Every time they celebrated the feast days in the biblical text, they had a holy convocation or an assembly. So that particular week, the 29th, is on Thursday. So we won't have our regular Wednesday service. Okay, what's Teshuvah mean? It means repentance. How many know repentance is the entry into the kingdom of God? Amen. When you repent and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Then August 31st, we will have a prayer breakfast, but we're starting a Daniel fast on the 29th, so it'll be a Daniel breakfast, Daniel fast breakfast, and I'll explain to that in a minute. But we're also, that morning, we're preparing and delivering goodie bags to the jail for the ladies in the jail, or is that for the men and the women? Both, men and women at the jail. So you need to see Jackie because she needs about probably 150 cupcakes. You're going to put two in a box, right? You're not going to put one little cupcake in a box, are you? Or you're going to put cookies and... Yeah, okay. Pastor Butch will trump you today, and we'll put a little more in there, okay? There's a lot more room in that box than... Yeah, okay. It's no problem. Then the 21st at 9:30, we're having the Miracle That Is Israel Conference. That's at 9:30 to 2. There's a $10 material fee, not for members of the Church of the King, but there'll be some people from out of town here. I'll charge them. And your lunch will be provided, all right? And there's another special service, kicks off the Feast of Trumpets on the 29th. That's a Sunday night. And that's enough of those. You got your Bibles with you. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 17. 2 Corinthians, not chapter 17, chapter 3, verse 17. I'm pretty sure there's not a 2 Corinthians 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When Moses came off the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments from God, his face shone with the glory of God. The presence of God was on Moses. And it was so shiny that they had to put a veil over his face so the people could look at him. And let's pick this up actually in verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Now, Paul's talking about the Jewish people and their hearts being veiled to the fact that Jesus is Messiah. Okay? They've been partially blinded, Paul says, at the church at Rome. But verse 16 says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, when you think of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think of this cloud or this presence just swirling around the head of God the Father and Jesus who has set it at his right hand. We think of this mystical swirling going around their heads. But biblically speaking, the Holy Spirit is very personal. And according to the Apostle Paul here, it's very clear that the Spirit of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, let me keep going. The message of the cross is a message of justification, just as if I'd never sinned, and reconciliation, being reconciled back to the Father. See, your justification or your redemption, you getting saved, you getting born again, was a whole lot more than just being justified or getting to heaven. It was you now being reconciled back to the Father. And like we talked about in Sunday school, you know, God is a God of relationships. Amen? And in any relationship, you've got to put something into it. Relationship requires fellowship. Right? Now, you know, to some people, God's just a sugar daddy. When they need something. Or when they get in a pickle or a bind. Oh, God! Am I right? But see, you're in a covenant relationship with God, and God wants to fellowship with you. Not just simply when you're in trouble. Amen? God wants to fellowship with you during the good times. Amen? Like Bernie said today in Sunday school, he said daily. I think he said hourly, minutely. Is minutely a word? It is now, Bernie. Okay? Dictionary by Bern. Hallelujah. Now, the mission of the man Jesus. How many know he was God, right? How many know at the same time he was a man? See, us Greek minds, us Western minds, we're like, huh? But to the Hebrew mind, that's fine. You know, he's man, but he was God. Now, his mission, can somebody tell me what his mission was? His mission was to raise up Talmudim, disciples. That was his mission. Now, part of his goal was to go to the cross at Calvary. But he didn't just come down as the Lamb of God and go to Calvary, right? He had a mission. He raised up disciples. That's a pretty important mission because you and I are here today serving God because of those original 12 disciples. Because they made disciples. And those disciples went out and they made disciples. Amen. No place in the Bible does it tell us to make converts. Okay? It tells us to make disciples, students of the Word of God. Amen. So that was his mission. His mission was to make disciples. You with me? His mission was to make disciples. But can anybody tell me what his message was? Love's part of it. What does he preach when he comes out of the wilderness after being tempted by Hasatan or Satan for 40 days? Repent. Why? The kingdom of God. That was his message. His message was always about the kingdom. His parables were mostly about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've heard people preach on the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But actually, there is no difference. Remember, the Jewish people at some point in their history decided, in order that they wouldn't break the command to not take the Lord's name in vain, they would not pronounce the most holy name of God anymore. Okay? So, only on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, would the priest, the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies and offered the blood of bulls and goats, he would use that most holy name. Okay? So even today, if you read a book written by a Jew and it's in English where it says God, it will normally say G-D. Because they don't want to, you know, that's a fence around the actual command to not take the Lord's name in vain. They don't want to take any chances. So instead of saying kingdom of God, they come up with the idiom kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing, right? With me, who's in heaven? God. All right. Now, I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7. There he is. It's going to be page 1100 and probably 40-something. Nope. 30-something. Daniel chapter 7. This is by far my favorite passage in the Scripture. Because God the Father is seated as judge. And we pick it up in verse 13. Daniel is seeing a vision. And he says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. In Hebrew, Son of Man is Ben Adam. Can anybody tell me why he has to be like the Son of Man, the Ben Adam? First of all, Son of Man is a term for Messiah. But he has to be the Son of Adam in order for him to have that physical body, right? But what was Adam given in the garden? What? Authority? Dominion, right? Adam was given authority and dominion, but when he sinned, he forfeits that authority and dominion, right? So in order for us to be redeemed, we need another redeemer that has authority. Amen? So we pick it up here. He says, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, then to him. Now, the Ancient of Days is God. What Daniel is seeing is he is seeing Jesus, the Son of Man, being brought near to God the Father. And look what he's given. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Wow. The kingdom that the Messiah was given is not like any other kingdom that any king has ever had on the earth. Because all the ancient kings died. As powerful as the Assyrians were, they were defeated by the Babylonians. No more Assyrian king, no more kingdom. As powerful the Babylonians were, they were defeated by the Medes and Persians. No more Babylon, no more Nebuchadnezzar, no more Belshazzar. And the Medes and Persians were defeated by the Greeks, okay? So this is the first kingdom, the only kingdom that's ever been given that was an everlasting kingdom. And the reason is it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's alive and well in men's and women's hearts. Amen. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit washes you and cleanses you, now the kingdom of heaven is residing in you. Amen. Look what he says. Pick it up down here in verse 22. Verse 21, and I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. So the saints are kind of losing the battle. You ever feel like you're losing the battle? Huh? Then he says, until the Ancient of Days, where God came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. I think the judgment that was made was Jesus on the cross at Calvary. That was the judgment that was made. The judgment for your sin and mine was laid upon him. Amen. And it says, and the time came for the saints to possess that kingdom. Glory to God. Now, if you're with me, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1.